I just like to start the episode just off the top, just saying, if you ain't a fucking sneakerhead and you don't know what's up, man,
tune out.
Don't call yourself a sneakerhead if you don't know what we're about to talk about.
If you're not into sneakers, if you're not into scams, if you're not into making fucking money,
I'm saying, bro, if you're not into getting bands place. After what? After bands? Uh-huh. After huh? After bands.
Bands on bands. Benjamins. Hamiltons. Every assortment of person on the face of money. We need it.
Dead presidents.
Yeah, dead presidents. Exactly. I'm repping dead presidents in my pockets right now. Look, we're talking about the Trump sneakers.
That's right. Hell yeah.
I love them.
They're good. Good shoes. Great shoes. They both simultaneously look like knockoff Converse mixed with shoes you'd find at like H&M.
Yeah, no.
With like a shitty gold spray paint on them.
Yeah, they're really bad.
They're tacky as hell.
I gotta think this is, look, say what you will about Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
Man knows how to grift.
I'm saying.
Man knows how to scam his supporters for money. Because he's selling these boys. I think they made like 1,000 total. And they're all sold out by now.
What did they retail for?
One of them, I don't know what they retailed for, but one of them was being auctioned off. And someone spent $9,000 on it.
$9,000? Yeah. Wait, like auctioned off? Like at an auction or like on StockX?
It was auctioned off. Like it was like an event.
Damn, don't let me catch the Trump shoes on StockX, bro. I might act up.
No, I would, yeah.
Start lowballing for the Trump shoes on Grailed. Oh my goodness.
We low key have like a collection of like funny political merchandise going. If we could get like a shelf and you put the Trump shoes on them, the abolish the FBI hat.
That'd be gas.
That'd look good in the studio.
I wish Trump would have actually like printed the Trump trading cards instead of just doing a shitty NFT thing.
Yeah. I mean, the shoes are real and out there. Not very many are being
made. That's insane. But it's like who the fuck is buying these? You know what I mean? It's gonna be a bunch of fathers who own like, I don't know, a car dealership or some bullshit like that, who wear, I don't know, New Balance 550s, but not in a drippy way.
Yeah.
Like intentionally not in the drippy way that like, I don't know, London supermodels wear New Balance 550s.
Yeah. You know what I mean? If I had the Trump kicks though, I would wear them to the studio every single day.
Oh, I'd be wearing them with this right now. Come on.
If someone could cop us some Trump shoes. Size 11 over here. I would absolutely wear them in the studio.
Goodness.
I'd have the spray paint gold.
We could put
them
right
flag.
Here. We could start a little shelf. We could start a little shelf of merch right there. The Trump shoes, abolish the FBI, and whatever other merch you guys want to sell us.
Exactly.
I mean, give us.
Hey, man,
if
we can get it on cheap, I have a feeling we're never going to see those shoes.
If I could get it on free real quick.
I'm a collector.
I'm a secret. I have a couple Jordans.
Right, Trump's been having a lot of legal issues, as we've talked about. Mm-hmm. He's been having a lot of money issues.
Oh, yeah.
He was just ordered to pay out like $300
million. $355 million. And
that's rough.
He can't do business in New York anymore.
Yeah. And the judge in that decision said, because it was just a civil case, so he's not like going to jail or anything over this. The judge in that case said that the way that they lie borders on pathological. Because they just can't help but lie. They kept lying about the asset worth, which was the fraud that he was being charged with. It's perfect.
That's so sick. And he's engaging, I feel like, in so many more of these like business ventures, like the selling the fucking shoes. I can't name the other ones off the top of my head, but it's like we're getting back to like OG Trump.
Yeah,
you know
we got the Trump cards. He's always selling merch and doing this sort of thing.
I wonder what the next banger he's going to come out with is.
I mean, I couldn't predict. I'm not going to try to get in front of a creative.
I never would have predicted that Trump sneakers.
And that was out of nowhere.
And that's why he's a visionary and I'm not. You know what I mean?
And the thing is it's not just like some random piece of merch, right? Like he unveiled these himself.
Yeah.
He was at, I don't know if it was a press conference or what it was, but he had the shoes with him. Like they got his stamp of approval on
Did he
it.
Have them on?
No.
He didn't. He wasn't rocking the kicks. He didn't come out with the gold shoes with the T on the side of them.
That would be awesome.
Oh my goodness, fit checks with the Trump shoes?
Oh my God. Could you imagine if he runs in those, not like physically runs, but runs the campaign.
Yeah.
Wearing those shoes, goes to the debate with the Trump sneakers?
Oh my God, that'd be so sick. But I can picture it now. You know those things that sneakerheads have that it's like you put like a magnet in the shoe and it like kind of like floats and spins around?
No.
Oh my God, they're actually like sick. You see them on like any like sneakerheads like YouTube channel. They'll always have like their Travis 1s displayed in them, right? If we just had one of those right here with the fucking gold Trump shoe just spinning around all show. Oh my God, man.
That would be Trump's walking up on the debate stage. All you hear is squeak, squeak, squeak. Pushing against the ground.
You see Trump like Trump walking, but he won't like bend his ankles because he doesn't want to crease them.
He doesn't want to
crease them.
Well, it's one of 1,000.
You think I spent $9,000 on these to crease the leather?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. I bet
the gold leather.
I bet that shit's gonna flake off in like 6 months. There's absolutely no way these are built for longevity.
$9,000 on them.
Like, who are you? What is he gonna do with them? Do we have Trump collectors out there?
Bro's just a diehard Trump supporter, I guess.
Oh my goodness, bro. You know what? That just inspires me to get my game up.
Kind of feminine.
Yeah. Yeah. What the fuck?
I thought you were supposed to be peak masculinity. Return to manly men. What are you out here collecting shoes?
What are you doing worshiping another man's feet, basically? Oh my gosh. Taking me back to that Super Bowl ad, brother, with his feet center screen.
Welcome back to Head in the Office, everybody. It's good to be back in the studio.
It's great to be back.
It's great to be back in the studio. Got to apologize to our patrons.
Oh, my gosh.
I made the episode 2 days late this week because I was dealing with a little bit of sickness.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm over it now. I got my booch in the studio.
That's right.
And we're absolutely ready to give you all the news.
Living healthy.
And we'll be back on track. And you'll get an early pod next week. Don't even worry about it.
Of course. You already know. But I mean, like, off top, you know, after the intro, after the cold open, I got to issue an apology.
Okay.
You remember when Ukraine, like everything Ukraine first broke out?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We had American civilians get up and volunteer to go fight in Ukraine?
Yeah.
I got to apologize to all them. I call them corny. I call them all this because I didn't get it.
You didn't get it.
But you know what made me flip the switch?
I see where this is going.
You know what made me flip the switch?
Got me Helldivers.
I saw those goddamn Helldivers fighting those fucking communist robots in Malevolon Creek.
Yeah.
And it inspired me.
It got
me to enlist.
It gives me a sort of patriotism. You know? I'm putting my life on the lines, virtually, of course.
Exactly. Well, they got out there and they decided, we're going to defend democracy. Uh-huh. And that's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, precisely.
I'm defending managed democracy and spreading the virtues and the liberation of super Earth. You know, these bugs, their bodies yearn for liberty.
Exactly. They didn't want diplomacy.
They didn't want
we
to
don't
do it. They rejected it, bro.
We don't want to hurt
I
them.
Heard they build WMDs.
Yeah, they got WMDs.
We cannot let that happen. And because of that, I finally understand. And it's a position I never thought I'd be in. And I just have to say, I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry to all those volunteer Ukrainian soldiers.
It's hell out there, but they're fighting for liberty.
I'm saying, oh my goodness.
Before we get into the episode, I will remind you all to head over to patreon.com/headintheofficepod. Look.
Yes.
We're grassroots funded.
Come on.
It's the best way to support the show. You get access to commercial-free episodes. And I'll say it right now.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, commercial-free. For everybody. And if you want commercial-free episodes for posterity, for the rest of your tenure as a listener for this podcast, hopefully for forever, then you have to head over to patreon.com. It's the only episode that's going to be commercial-free.
And now look, everybody. You know, I've been doing calculations on the back end. It's a very realistic thing that could happen. I've been doing calculations. I've been slaving away on the back end, trying to work through this. And I think it is possible.
Yeah.
That in the year 2024, the year of our Lord, we become the first podcast to gross $1 trillion.
Oh my God!
And
we're close.
We need you all to help us get there. Because while it's possible, it's not going to be easy.
Uh-uh.
It's not going to be easy. And so head on over to patreon.com/headintheoffice to help us with our goal.
It's the only way we can get there.
Our completely realistic goal.
Go become a patron. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok. Mm-hmm. But you probably came from there. All the socials are in the description. Join the Discord. It's a fun place. And, of course, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple. We got two of those today.
Wonderful.
The first one by Jojo Reed 693. How are these guys not more popular? I ask myself.
I've been saying this.
We're almost $1 trillion, but still not. they say, these guys rock. Hilarious commentary, smart discussions, very informative. What a brief review.
A brief, but poignant.
Yes, no. Yeah.
Poignant, very, very to the point.
Really just cuts through.
They're really something that cut me deeply, however, is the glaring omission from the review that we'll get to in this next one. Don't you even worry about it. This next review by Live Laugh Leftist, a light at the end of the tunnel of my existential crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I originally found Jeremy and Gage a couple years ago off a short clip on TikTok, and they've been my Roman Empire ever since. We got an OG hit head right here.
Yo.
It's honestly an abomination that they're not a household name as a queer leftist surrounded by a family of conservatives in Florida. That's dangerous. This podcast gives me hope. hope that there is still a point to all of this gestures widely in a way that is accessible and factual while somehow being the perfect balance of empathy and humor. Mm-hmm. The Hit-O-Pod remains the only Sunday sermon I'm interested in listening to. I'll say it again. The Hit-O-Pod remains the only Sunday sermon they're interested in listening to. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to many more years of sparkle, non-parasocial friendship and support. Continue being great, guys. Wow. Also, if it wasn't clear... I can dumb Hamas.
Nice. Yeah, that's a very good review. A model review, even.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just say, for future reviews, we appreciate the brief ones, but don't let brevity exclude the condemnation of Hamas.
Absolutely.
That's number one rule of life.
Absolutely.
Be as brief as you can, but condemn Hamas.
Mm-hmm. I've been saying this.
I think it's time to get into the news.
100%.
We'll start off with some election news and even some election speculation.
Oh. Let
me throw out some just random speculation. Maybe we'll just like some... Some wanton, damn near irresponsible.
You know, my hot take, I was going to save it to the end, but I think I got to drop it now. I think that Joe Biden is going to do another successful writing campaign. Wait with bated breath. Not a successful writing campaign necessarily, because Joe Biden, while he's running a write-in campaign, people are going to get confused. Voters are going to get confused and write in Joe Budden.
Oh,
Joe Budden then becomes the party's nominee.
Or even Joe Brandon.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right, let's get into the news. So our next presidential primary contest is coming up on Saturday, the 24th. This is the GOP primary in South Carolina. Mm. Big one for Nikki Haley, make or break.
The current governor of, former governor of
South Carolina. I don't know if make is an option.
No. Most definitely not.
Polling still puts Nikki Haley about 30% behind Donald Trump. Even if she loses big, I'm going to guess she'll try to spin whatever happens as a W. She keeps talking about how, like, everyone counted me out, but then we got 40% in New Hampshire. And it's like, well, come on.
Everyone counted me out, and they kept counting
me
out.
Right.
And then they counted me out again, but not this time.
It's like that tweet. It's like, they prayed on my downfall, and it's working.
Well, you know, realistically, now she can actually say that everyone counted her out.
Yeah.
Because there's no shot.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But we have some actual results we can talk about. Important results. Results that... remind us of what we lost.
I was going to say.
What was taken from us.
Results that remind me of a wound that's still open and is going to take a while to heal.
Yeah. So no major presidential news this week, but New York's third congressional district, a House district, held an election last Tuesday to fill the massive gaping hole left in our hearts and left in Congress by George Santos, of course. The race had Democrat Tom Suozzi running against Republican Mazie Pillip, with the Democrat winning almost 54% of the vote. Ooh. Of course, the seat's going to be back up for grabs in November, since it was only a special election, meaning, you know, a couple of months from now, maybe the same race is going to be happening again. But this does mean that the GOP House lead is slimmer than it was before.
Nice.
They lost a seat because they kicked George Santos out.
Amazing.
Liberals have been a little annoying about this, though. Suozzi is a pretty moderate candidate.
Okay.
He's basically adopted all of Biden's talking points on the border. So basically just saying, like, we need to lock it down despite being in fucking Long Island. So they're on their shit, as they always get when a moderate wins, saying, like, oh, look, see, this is what winning a contested election looks like. You have to run as a moderate. That's nonsense. I expect this discourse will probably have subsided by now, but like, it's just not the case. It's the same nonsense they say every time there's an election with a moderate winning.
It's like, yeah, it kind of just happens that this is the guy you put up. It was a miracle that this district was even contested in the first place.
Yeah, well, and it's like Long Island isn't a particularly liberal place, right? Like, there's going to be some places throughout the country where, like, a socialist candidate couldn't win.
Mm-hmm.
The idea isn't that a progressive can win literally anywhere in the country, it's that progressive ideas are popular.
Yeah, and it's also like George Santos winning was just a fucking anomaly. I think in the last election, in the 2020 election, his district was like D+12.
Yeah, something like
D
that.
D+8 or D+12. So,
yeah,
like a
have
wide
one.
Margin.
He
there
shouldn't
was
have won.
No fucking reason that guy should have got his seat.
Yeah, yeah. Also, Suozzi had a particularly bad opponent. She dodged a lot of questions. She specifically wouldn't answer abortion questions, which is still a big deal.
Nice.
And also, Suozzi himself has been in politics for a while, so people around the Long Island area know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was a House representative before redistricting happened. So it's not like he was a nobody. The point I'm trying to make here is don't make broad sweeping generalizations just to dunk on progressives.
Yes.
There's no reason to do that. We didn't need to catch a stray. Like, the Democrats got the seat. Be happy with that. Before we move on, though, a little bit of extra election news, which isn't really news. I've just been seeing a lot of speculation.
Okay.
There's been, and I guess this is probably mostly unfounded, but I've been seeing a lot of people post about, been seeing some articles about the DNC potentially setting Biden up to be replaced by somebody else.
Man,
near the convention.
I fucking wish, but like.
You see, the only reason I bring this up is not because I want anybody to get their hopes up. I think most of this is cope.
Yeah.
To be clear.
Absolutely.
It's not like reasoned analysis of the situation. But there's like political articles that have been coming out. Kamala Harris was the first one to talk like officially about the Navalny situation, which we'll talk about later. And there's just been some other like tidbits of news coming out that seem to suggest somebody in the DNC is leaking some info that like Biden might be on the outs. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't hold your breath and hope it's going to happen. It seems like Biden's going to be the guy. But I don't know. It's something interesting.
I mean, yeah, like as much as I wish it would happen,
yeah.
As much as I think it would be the most optical path moving forward.
It'd be the best move.
If this happened, I don't think it's going to.
Well, and the bad thing is like, it would be Kamala Harris.
Oh, man.
Like, she would be
crazy.
She would be the person, you know what I mean?
I feel like there has not been a single bit of good PR that has come her way. Her entire vice presidency.
Well, and she's like... Like she, I don't know how old she is. She's much younger than Biden, obviously,
yeah.
But she still like struggles to speak. Like I don't know what she like. She did. You remember like the wheels on the bus thing?
Yes.
It's weird. It's weird. It doesn't sell with middle America. And I know part of the hate she gets is just because she's a black woman, and none of that
absolutely,
is fair.
Yeah.
Of course, but Kamala Harris generally is an unpopular figure. Gretchen Whitmer.
Gretchen
Whitmer come to save us. Even Gavin Newsom, even though I don't like him very much, but like I would take Gavin Newsom.
Big Gretchen
over Joe
would be
Biden.
Cool.
Yeah.
But I think that's a 2028 thing. I think anyone who wants to run is going to be running in 2028. Because
mm-hmm.
it would also just be so hard for someone who wasn't in contention. So basically everyone who could possibly win a presidential election.
Yeah.
It'd be so hard for them to come in this late into the game and build enough momentum to fucking beat Trump.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm saying the only way that somebody could replace Joe Biden is to get appointed at the convention as the nominee.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can't beat him in the delegate race at this point. Cause I mean, a lot of the ballots can't even take new people on the list anymore. So the only thing that they could really do is hope to like Joe Biden at the convention is like, yeah, I'm stepping down, choose somebody else. And then that frees up all of his delegates to just pick somebody. Maybe they consolidate around Kamala Harris or Gavin Newsom or somebody else. But I think a lot of the news stories that have been coming out, like the Politico piece and a bunch of other pieces, I think it's just cope.
It's
cope. I guess people just hoping.
And it's to capitalize on the everybody hates this guy right now. Rightfully
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Rightfully
yeah, they're getting clicks. They're getting clicks.
You know, yeah. they got ads on that website. They got to get eyes on them.
Yeah. So it's probably not going to happen, but I didn't want to get away from this episode without letting y'all know that I see it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I see it too.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
I think we're moving on to some. Right. Moving on to the other side of the aisle.
Uh-huh.
Talk about some GOP drama.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I love GOP drama. They're messy. I say GOP drama way more fun.
The girls
DNC
are
drama.
Fighting. The girls.
Oh my
are
goodness!
Fighting.
And they are catty. They're pulling hair.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Oh my goodness! But we've mentioned in passing over the last couple of months that the current RNC chair, Ronna McDaniel, which I didn't know is Mitt Romney's wife.
Ronna Romney McDaniel.
It's Ronna Romney McDaniel. And you know
why
she changed?
I thought it was his cousin.
Or cousin or something. Either way, she's related to Mitt Romney.
Okay. Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form. I don't necessarily know
the party
know the
fucking
details.
Hates his dumb ass now.
But the reason why she added that McDaniel on, Trump told her to.
That's it?
I think so.
She changed her name for Trump?
I was trying to read up on it earlier, and I think the gist of it that I saw is that Trump did not like that.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And she became RNC chair in 2017 after he won.
Man, so he's like, yeah, you know, you can't. Well, Romney didn't even run against him. I guess Romney maybe was critical of Trump.
Yeah, he's always been one of the never-Trumpers,
yeah.
even though he voted with Trump more than the Trumpers.
There was a moment there he thought he was going to be Secretary of State, so
oh,
he was nice to Trump.
Nice,
but after
that,
yeah, he's been critical of Trump. That's crazy. He made her change her name?
I think so.
He's got a grip
on
the party,
pretty sure
man.
That's what I read. If that's wrong, you can yell at me in the comments or do whatever. But anyway, she's been a little bit of hot water with the GOP, drawing ire from Trump, notable Trump dick rider, Vivek Ramaswamy, and a lot of the regular party lunatics. They really don't like her for some reason.
Well, they've been losing. It's not really her fault,
and
though.
That's kind of the gist of it, is she is taking the brunt of basically everything that's happened to the GOP, despite her kind of doing her best to steer away from the bad things that the GOP has done.
Yeah.
She tried, like, she had an effort to get them to stop talking about abortion, but they could not help themselves.
Yeah.
And under her watch, they just lost. They've just been losing.
Like, at some point, it's like, you guys are running Blake Masters, Dr. Oz, you're running Vivek Ramaswamy. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, you can't blame the party.
Yeah, and they're losing. They're losing to a guy who can't put on a fucking suit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't blame the party chair at some point. Like, it's the people.
There's something fundamentally wrong with how you guys are running these elections, too.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would say most of it's Trump's fault.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, it's all Trump's fault. The abortion stuff that galvanized everyone against conservatives, That's a relic of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she did her best to get him to shut the fuck up, but they just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. And it's like, as much as we want to be able to paint, you know, election outcomes in broad strokes and say like, oh, this is why the GOP lost. As we said during 2022, sometimes it's just bad candidates.
Yeah.
Bad candidates matter.
Yeah. Nobody likes Blake Masters.
No.
He's a fucking psychopath.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He looks like an automaton. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, he's not a person.
And you know how I feel about those.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Catch me at the creek later on.
Duplicitous traitors.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway, so they've had bad electoral performance, and they've also had issues fundraising. However, I would like to note that when I was reading on either Politico, CNN, or the AP earlier, the issues with fundraising are attributed to some large donors leaving, not donating to the RNC, but instead donating to Trump directly.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
And that shit's going towards legal funds.
That shit's going to, what is it? He has to pay $355 million in New York. And how much to E. Jean Carroll?
Oh, I don't remember.
Is
it
also like,
million.
I thought it was also like, is it like $80 million to her?
I don't know. Get in your bag.
Either way, Gene. Fucking like, he bros down like $400 million conservatively.
Yeah, he's bad.
He's running. Well, that's why he's selling sneakers. And that's why he got in the game.
I know like state GOPs are struggling a lot too. Michigan and Minnesota, I think especially, are like broke.
For real?
Cannot post a money spread. They got like $0 left in
the
tank.
That's so good. That's
and
so
we
good.
Knew that, what's his name? One of the Florida senators, Rick Scott, I think.
Okay.
Was running the fundraising chair of the RNC, or he was in charge of spending money or something, and he just ran out of money before the 2022 midterms.
Nice.
Yeah, like they're bad at spending money. They can't get donors. Part of it is Trump's fault. Part of it's because they're super unpopular. It's like, post a money spread, my guy.
Post a money spread. But either way, I feel like the sort of like reallocation away from fundraising within the RNC to Trump kind of just further signals how all of the Republican Party infrastructure from the state level to whatever level, just all of it, is sort of putting all their chips in his basket.
Yeah.
And reconsolidating all of their power to him. And it gets even worse because now, Ronna McDaniel has decided, she announced, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, she's stepping down after the South Carolina primary.
Yeah, well.
She's not going to be RNC chair anymore. Uh-huh. And this guy, Trump, the party king, basically, he wants to put his daughter-in-law in that position.
Well, sick.
It's not in that position, but with that incredibly powerful position in the, open in the party, Trump is suggesting Michael Whatley to be voted chair with none other than Laura Trump, his daughter, Eric's wife, her poor soul. Your poor soul.
It comes with the territory.
That's true. You're not wrong. As co-chair, the other guy, the guy for chair, Michael Whatley, he's just known election denier.
Okay. Well,
he just, as soon as Trump lost the election, he saw the line.
Yeah.
He saw his path to money and he hopped on it.
I mean,
wrote it well.
I can't get mad at people for having game.
All I'm saying is, if I had like no morals already and was in the Republican Party, what's this? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What's chasing a bag?
What's lying a little bit?
What's dick riding this president to get some dead presidents? You know what I'm saying?
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with making a little bread. And I feel like that's where the story gets interesting, because Laura has now gone on the record to say that she will use, quote, every single penny will go to the number one and only job of the RNC. That is, elect Donald J. Trump as president of the United States and saving this country.
Not diversifying the spending at all.
So sick.
Oh, that's
every
awesome.
Single penny to this one race. That's
awesome.
Really just a figurehead. But I digress. Trump also went on Newsmax to say, quote, the RNC needs to be the leanest, most lethal political fighting machine we've ever seen in American history.
It's going to be tough to do that when you're broke.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe he wants his position so he can, you know, divert a little bit of those RNC funds, what little they have left, to help his own legal battles.
Well, I mean, it's either that or go to jail. Like, he's got to find a way to win, right?
Because it's not only these personal battles, it's also the election integrity battles. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that he wants Laura Trump in this position so that he can use RNC money to pay for whatever the fuck is going on in Georgia, to pay for whatever election lawsuits he wants to bring, to pay for, I don't know, a new slurry of lawsuits that he will bring if he loses the 2024 election.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, come on now.
Well, maybe we're being unfair. Maybe Laura Trump had a really good resume.
Yeah.
Really good cover letter.
Maybe she was the most qualified for the job.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, it is kind of funny. It is kind of funny that conservatives, whenever like a black man is hired as a pilot, they get up in arms about all of a sudden people aren't qualified.
Yeah.
But then when, I don't know, Trump's daughter-in-law.
Someone with the last name of Trump.
Someone literally in Trump's family who didn't hold political office until, I don't know, Trump, her father-in-law, got in political office, just gets kind of thrown around with these massively powerful endorsements. I don't know.
That's great. That's going to be a kind of a theme this episode is unworthy people getting political appointments.
Absolutely.
That's the theme for the next section, too. Anyway, goodness.
But anyway, so while it's not unusual for the National Party to throw their weight behind the party's nominee, I feel like the Trump's record of mismanaged businesses, like we talked about, kind of spells doom for the RNC.
Yeah.
If the RNC is already out of money and they want to kind of divest those funds away from whatever they're at right now, the few community centers that they've built, however much those have fucking helped, you know what I mean?
Right.
Into whatever Trump wants, how are they going to function?
Yeah. And like you said, it's important to note that it's not out of the realm of normal for the party to appoint someone to chair that's even like a sycophant of the presidential nominee, right? Like it's like Biden got to help appoint the guy who's currently the head of the DNC. It's nothing that's unusual, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is unusual, of course, that Trump is under like several indictments.
Yes.
He's going to be in and out of courts. And I'm guessing this money is going to be used to fund those pieces of litigation he's fighting against.
Well, that's the most interesting part of it is they're talking about all the money. Oh, the money's mismanaged. The money's going to this. The money's going to that. The money should go to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It's like I have very little faith that Trump and his orbiters have both the integrity and the know-how to actually be able to run the National Party in a way that can, I don't know, adequately fund and promote state and local elections RNC is responsible for.
That's the point of the party.
Like you have a national party to divert funds where they otherwise would be lacking.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And frankly, I don't think Trump is where the funds are lacking.
Yeah, like a lot of Democratic candidates rely on funding from the party to win their elections, you know what I mean?
Because mm-hmm.
sometimes it can be hard to raise money, even though you got to prove you can and, you know, get however many thousands of dollars before they'll actually help you out. But if you're running for like a Senate office, for example, you can expect the party's going to come in and help.
Exactly.
Or a super PAC is going to come in and help. But if they're just giving all the money to Trump, I don't know what they're going to do.
It's like, I don't know. You could say, that's just an exaggeration. That's just a piece of rhetoric. I wouldn't be fucking surprised.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they genuinely thought that, okay, if we throw all of our money at Trump and just rely on down ballot effects as well as Trump's endorsement, which has been shaky at best at the last election.
Yeah.
I feel like it signals that the Republican Party is kind of at this tipping point where they are investing everything into this guy. And it's why 2024 is so important that he loses.
Oh, yeah.
Because if Trump can get all of the party power thrown at him and lose, there's no way they come back from
this. The party falls apart.
There's absolutely no way because there's no shot that he will run again in 2028. Should he make it to 2028?
He probably either won't live or won't stay a free man.
That's what I was saying. Like either way, bro's not walking on American soil in 2028. Like I don't see a way that if Republicans lose, they can come out of this with a strong thing to grasp to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even if he got taken to jail before the election, like I don't know what they do.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think they can pivot in time.
Like, what do they do? I don't
think people to vote for someone
divest
else.
Divest more funds away from state and local races?
Yeah.
Give more to
Break
Trump to
out.
Fight these battles? Oh, appeal, appeal.
Yeah.
Break him out.
It's not going to happen. GOP in shambles. We love to see it.
But it's, I think they should. I think this, you know what? I think this is a great move.
No, great
part.
Strategy. Yeah,
take,
if you're a
take,
Republican
take
strategy.
Take
guy.
All of those fucking money away from those greedy, I don't know, people running for school board.
Yeah.
And give it all to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Give it all. State and local elections, guys, those don't matter.
Yeah, no, don't fund like your second round of Blake Masters or your Kari yeah. Lake, who unfortunately is running for Arizona Senate.
Oh, goodness.
And won't be the VP pick. I'm still holding out hope, personally.
It could happen.
It could, but
there's
she's
a non-zero chance.
Yeah.
There's a non-zero chance that it could happen. All I'm saying is, like, guys, change happens from the top down. If you're a Republican and you're listening to this, change happens from the top down.
Oh, yeah.
State and local elections, those don't matter.
The American voter has proved that if they're voting uh-huh. for a Democrat top of the ballot, they will not switch up, ever.
That's what I'm saying.
They've never split ticket voted at all. People don't do that.
Guys, there's a reason that people only come out to vote for the president. There's a reason that that's the highest turnout during mm-hmm. a presidential election year, because that's the only race that matters.
You have nothing to worry about.
You got nothing to worry about. State and local mm-hmm. elections, you don't even know who your state senators are.
What do they even do?
Yeah, they don't have real fucking jobs. Don't no. worry about those races and give it all to Trump. Donate to Trump directly.
Have you even seen a comptroller?
What are the we fuck sure did that word real? Even mean?
Yeah. Come on. Moving on. I think we have to talk about Oklahoma.
Oh.
Oklahoma, bad state.
Bad state.
Not a good state.
Oh, man.
Little trigger warning for this section. We're going to be talking about hate crimes in a little bit here. But first, we got to talk about a story that's a little bit beyond parody, but it's not... It's kind of funny, but it's not funny in the way that's usually funny for this
yeah, it's,
show.
It's not like beyond parody. Like, ha, that's like so goofy. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Yeah. So back in January, there was a major piece of news that the creator behind Libs of TikTok was appointed by the Oklahoma Superintendent of Public Schools to the State Library Advisory Committee. So they were appointed to a state position.
You're going
to
tell me that's the best fucking person for the job?
Yeah, come on now.
All this discourse around fucking black pilots 3 weeks ago, and you're gonna tell me that Libs of TikTok,
earned
a fucking TikToker, uh-huh. earned that role? That's like putting us, that's like making us comptrollers.
Yeah, that's like if Gavin Newsom appointed Hassan Piker to some role in the Department of Education.
God damn.
And it's even worse, right? Because like, Libs of TikTok is a creator that regularly directs hate towards LGBTQ teachers and schools that are inclusive of LGBTQ students. It's a creator who single-handedly inspires bomb and death threats directed towards schools. And importantly, it's a creator that lives in fucking New York.
What?
Not Oklahoma.
Can you do that?
Wait, bro did it. Fucking Ryan Walters, I think is his name, the superintendent of Oklahoma. He appointed someone that lives in New York, probably because she hates gay people and so does he.
Why does she live in New York if she hates gay people so much?
That's a good question.
What are they doing there? What the fuck are you doing in like the bluest state in the country? If you run Libs of TikTok, what the fuck are you doing living in New York?
If you hate it, move.
If you don't like it, leave.
Exactly.
What are we doing here?
Now, the Library Advisory Committee does exactly what it sounds like it would do. It's responsible for making recommendations on the material that's allowed in school libraries. There was a little bit of bipartisan pushback from state representatives in Oklahoma, some Republicans being against it, Democrats obviously being against the move.
Yeah.
But this is seemingly state endorsement of Libs of TikTok, the person behind that account. And their messaging and encouraging of harassment and the elimination of LGBTQ people.
Wow.
Because, like, that's what they do, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, they're a stochastic terrorism account.
That's so, fucking... This is... How the fuck did they land a position?
She just got a position on this advisory committee for the state of Oklahoma, which is pretty sick.
Fucking good. So now she's going to take out, like, what, every fucking book that helped the three kids that go to the library?
Yeah, Catcher in the Rye is going to get banned again.
Oh, man. That's a good book. It's a good book.
That's not where this news ends, unfortunately. Okay. It brings us to more recent news, and this is where the trigger warning comes in. And keep in mind, the reporting here, we're going to be talking about violence. The reporting here is a little all over the place because this just happened and just mm-hmm. got reported a couple of days ago. But early in February at Owosso High School in Oklahoma, 10th grade gender fluid student Nex Benedict was beaten in the girls' bathroom by three older students.
Jesus Christ.
This is a gender fluid student, I think non-binary student. The cause of the violence hasn't been officially announced. Police haven't said anything. Nex reportedly could not take themselves to the nurse's office. And for some reason, the teachers didn't call an ambulance after this happened.
They saw it, and they're just like, yeah. Walk it off.
You couldn't not see. This student, they had, like, bruises all over their face, bleeding on their face. Like, it was obviously bad, right?
And you're going to tell me this was for, like, any other reason.
Right, exactly. It's a hate crime.
Oklahoma has also enacted some pretty egregious anti-trans bills, haven't they?
Yeah, well, and a bathroom bill, importantly.
Oh!
So it's not like they have gender-neutral bathrooms that this student can go and use.
Nice, right? Okay.
The next day, Nex was with her mother, I believe. They went to the hospital, and Nex died in the hospital. Didn't survive the wounds that they sustained. This happened at, again, Owosso High School. This is a school that had been targeted by libs of TikTok previously when a teacher posted a few years ago, quote, "If your parents don't love you for who you are, your parents don't love you for who you are this Christmas, fuck them. I am your parents now, and I'm proud of you." This teacher was harassed and later forced to resign following the hatred directed by libs of TikTok. That's not even a gay thing.
That doesn't even have to just be a gay thing.
I think the teacher was like,
That's the intention. It's very clearly queer coded, but it doesn't have to be. That's just a good message to spread, no matter who you are.
This person was labeled, you're indoctrinating kids, you're grooming the kids, right? Because you said that you're going to replace their parents.
Kids should be under the ultimate authority of their parents, even if their parents fucking despise them.
Yeah.
These are the people that go around and say they care so much about child abuse until, I don't know, the abuser is their parent, and then it's completely okay.
Or a kid gets beaten to death in a school.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that libs of TikTok directed the murder or plotted it or did it themselves or anything like that. But I am going to say that this is the downstream effect of fear mongering about schools and indoctrination and the depravity of LGBTQ students and teachers. Mm-hmm. When you lead people to believe that students, young people, are being corrupted and there's something wrong with being LGBTQ, and when the state of Oklahoma buys into this narrative, people are going to feel encouraged or like it's necessary to do violence against that group.
Yeah.
That's the intended purpose. It is the downstream effect of what accounts like Libs of TikTok do. It's the downstream effect of what state officials like Ryan Walters do. This is the consequence.
And it's like Libs of TikTok is quite literally like a rhetoric maker or like a thought leader, if you could call it that, right, in the fucking anti-trans space. Like Libs of TikTok has had a measurable effect on not only anti-trans rhetoric, but anti-trans policy.
Yeah.
So much of this is inspired by the movement that they're kind of one of the founding persons of.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is a non-binary student, a straight-A student. Not that it even matters. You don't have to get good grades to not deserve to be beaten in school. This was a good student, a 10th grade student, a young person, and they were beaten by, I'm going to assume, because, you know, cause hasn't been released, motive hasn't been released, that it was motivated by their LGBTQ identity. And this is in a red state where policies have explicitly targeted trans and non-binary students. This is in a state at a school where a right-wing fearmonger figurehead has targeted that school previously. And I'm only going to assume that students felt encouraged to do this sort of thing.
And now that person who targeted that school explicitly has a position of power over that school.
Exactly. Yeah.
Has a position of power within the state. And they don't even fucking live in the state. Oh my God.
It's a kind of terrorism, right? Like you are constantly harassing and constantly bullying online a certain group of people. Now you have state power behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is what happens.
Yeah.
It's not surprising to me. And of course, I will say, a hate crime happening to you as an individual, as a listener, is incredibly unlikely. Hate crimes are very rare, but they do happen. And the point is that it instills fear. And it has a sort of chilling effect where it forces you into a position where coming out feels as though it will cause violence onto you, so you just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to force people. Or I should say, it's a way to prevent people from ever expressing themselves, from ever presenting themselves as nonconforming. And that is the goal of conservatives.
That's fucking, that's Jesus Christ, man.
Well, and it's like, think about it, right? Like we know when mass shooters do a shooting in the name of white supremacy and we find swastikas on their guns or they have some kind of manifesto where they write about how the white race is superior and they hate black people. We know what their ideology is and we know what figures in politics motivated that attack.
Yeah.
This isn't different.
No.
It's the same thing. And even if it's incredibly unlikely that you're a part of a mass shooting or you're a part of a hate crime, it's still important for the country and the position of LGBTQ people in society. It's just a horrible thing to see. And Oklahoma and the Republicans there are terrible.
I'm just, that's outside of how fucking insane that that story is in of itself. I'm still honestly stuck on the fact that Libs of TikTok is now in a position of power.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
What the fuck are we doing?
That happened at the end of January. They just got appointed to this position in Oklahoma.
And the fact that she lives in New York should not be allowed.
No.
Should not be allowed. The fact that she has the opinions that she does, like, that should mm-hmm. be barring enough.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, she's not even there.
Yeah, and bro caught flack for it, and he was like, I think she has, like, a great eye for what should be allowed in schools or something like that. It's like, she doesn't have an educational background.
She has not read any of these
books. She's a real estate agent in fucking Brooklyn. I don't want to hear it. Like, you're from New York. What do you know about what needs to go on in Oklahoma? You know what I mean?
Like, completely different states.
It's different than, like, sharing an opinion about what should happen in a different state. It's like, you have a position of power now.
Yeah,
it's, in the education sector.
It's like, it's not only does she have a position of power, but we gave a position of power to a stochastic terrorist.
Yes.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Now what? She's just like a terrorist with power? What the fuck is going on? What are we doing?
Yeah, imagine Gretchen Whitmer appoints us for some bullshit position. Like, it'd be ridiculous. At least we would, like, we're not, like, horrible human beings.
I'm saying, at least we try to, I don't know, do evidence-based bullshit.
Like, the point of our content is never to, like, direct hate towards a white suburban mom and get her killed. You know what I mean? Like, you'll notice we always cover, like, politicians, people with power doing bad things.
School board people.
We never zoom in on, like, one parent that's, you know, talking shit about LGBTQ people on Facebook.
Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's in a cold open, but it's clowning.
Yeah,
it's
like, oh, we're never, like, stating names, goofy addresses. Like, Libs of TikTok is a history of doxing people.
Insane.
Getting people in big trouble, yeah.
Insane behavior.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it kind of reminds me, I saw, you know, if you didn't know, Pex is fucking back.
Oh, so
Apex
back.
Legends. Apex, bear with me. Maybe. It's, I promise it relates to the topic.
He's a gamer on today's episode.
What can I say, bro? The game reduces in me. It's flowing through me. But Apex Legends is back. Season 20. It's a good season. It got me back in the game. So because I'm back in the game, I've been trying to watch Apex content again to, you know, get the juices flowing.
Yeah.
One of those Apex content creators, you know, happened to pop up on my For You page on TikTok. It was Nick Merckx.
Okay.
Nick Merckx has had a bit of a controversial history in the past. I think we might have talked about it last year. There was like a pro-LGBT protest or a counter-protest outside of a school. Nick Merckx decided to comment on it. We talked about it. Like, you're fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This time, Nick Merckx made a video, posted on TikTok. He's like, you know, Apex Legends, they're just pushing this gay shit on kids, and I just can't fuck with that, man. Like,
what?
It should be up to the parents to introduce their kids to that. Kids shouldn't be able to hop on a game and have to have all this like LGBTQ stuff thrown at them. And he's like, I'm not for or against it, which means you're against. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're not for or against somebody's identity?
Yeah,
you're neutral. Come on. If you're not for people being able to express themselves, you're anti it.
Yeah,
like,
explicitly.
This is one of the only binaries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyways, like, I just think it should be up to parents, and kids shouldn't just be able to access this shit, man. Apex Legends is a very inclusive game.
Oh, yeah.
But in no way does it fucking shove it in your face.
And bordering on saying, why is there so many black people in this first-person shooter?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I had no idea until I was watching, like, lore videos, like, 2 fucking years into playing the game that Bloodhound was non-binary.
Well, yeah, and, like, that shit doesn't come out at any... Like, you're focused on playing the game, not the voice lines.
Exactly. I think there's only, like, one voice line in the game that's, like, a little gay. And it's the... it's the Catalyst voice line. I'm the trans witch your mother warned you about.
Oh yeah, that's the one.
That's like the one voice line in the game. That's it. It's not distracting. Meta legend.
Everyone's fully clothed.
Everyone is fully clothed. Nobody's fucking macking lips on the fucking loading screen.
Yeah.
It is in no way, shape, or form. And there's a rainbow flag badge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a fucking ridiculous statement that you just to hold that belief that Apex Legends, by including gay characters within its roster, maybe some characters that are, I don't know, fucking, for lack of a better term, more gay than others.
Yeah,
gay, right? Or more LGBTQ than others. More obviously, bear with me, more obviously gay than others.
Yeah.
That's somehow corrupting kids and parents should be the one teaching them about it. That is the same thing as saying that you shouldn't be allowed to be gay in public.
Yeah, well, and it's like, yeah, I don't want gay people represented in the content I'm consuming because I see it as political, but when I see straight people in my content, I don't see that as political, right?
Exactly.
The representation of gay people itself is an intrusion, not just a sort of reflection of how society actually is.
It's the line like, oh, kids have access to this game and it should be up to the parents. Kids have access to the outside world as well.
Yeah,
and
well, importantly.
Kids are going to go outside and see, I don't know, 2 fucking dudes at dinner.
Also, the parents could just not let them play it.
Yeah.
That's an option.
For real. And even if the parents didn't let them play because they were scared of it, the parent cannot stop the kid from going and seeing, I don't know, two girls holding hands outside and being like, oh, what's that?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but it's fundamentally ridiculous to say that characters should not be in pieces of media for their sexuality or whatever. To say them just existing is shoving it down your throat.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Doug. The world is much, much bigger than your tiny little head.
Yeah.
It's just and what it is.
It's fundamentally the same as saying you shouldn't be able to be gay outside.
Yeah, also,
it is.
Game's got plenty of straight characters.
Oh, my God,
There's like 20 characters in the game. There's plenty of straight ones.
So many.
Yeah.
So many. Oh, my God.
And there's straight relationships portrayed in the game. And it's something for everyone.
And it's one fucking game.
Yeah.
It's one fucking game. Like, you also have your Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's fucking killing the straight demographic right now.
Yeah, you got Helldivers too.
That's right.
That's got no relationships represented at all, even though it's making fun of you.
Completely apolitical game, brother. I saw this one just straight up off topic. I saw a post on it was a screenshot of Discord being like some motherfucker like, oh, I just want to thank Arrowhead and the Helldivers developers for not making this game political at all. Brother,
come on.
Media literacy, it's in the shambles.
It's incredibly
political. I swear to God, I feel like the amount of, like, in the 2000s, early 2000s, like, people being like, oh, they're teaching us all these useless fucking subjects in school. Like, why am I learning language arts and not learning taxes? It's because, that's why we're not media literate as a society anymore. People have taken so much of an emphasis off of, like, I don't know, analysis and, like, the language classes, the reading classes that we're just... We're really facing the repercussions, man.
Yeah, like, people will watch a TV show like The Boys. Like, a conservative will watch The Boys and be like, oh, yeah, this show is super cool
people
and funny.
People thought Blue Hawk was unproblematic.
It's like, dog, it's making fun of you. It is making fun of you. And then it's like, no, it makes fun of woke left companies, too. And it's like, oh, my God, you don't understand. You didn't get it. It's making fun of you, man.
The Boys makes fun of, like, aspects that are absurd within liberalism about, like, pandering.
Yeah.
And then it fundamentally makes fun of everything you believe. Yeah. So many people thought that Blue Hawk didn't brutalize some guy despite him having superpowers. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
man.
Then he said soup lives matter. Like, come on.
Like, they made it obvious. I thought it was cringy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's bad out here. It's bad.
It's rough out here, bro. Encourage media literacy.
Talking more bad things.
More bad things.
More bad news. We're talking geopolitics today, you know, as the number one geopolitical podcast.
Back to reclaim the mantle.
We can't just let that title pass us by.
I never will.
It's ours, and we're going to claim it here today.
I am heading the office because I'm the number one geopolitics podcast.
Exactly.
It's not the other way around.
No. Bad news. Keep that in mind. Early last week on Monday, Israel launched airstrikes.
It was actually on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was Sunday.
It was during Super Bowl kickoff.
Right. Because I remember that because we recorded on Sunday.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, they were waiting for us to finish.
And that's what all the headlines were about. Like, how dare you launch this strike during, right after Hito recorded?
all that headlines okay. Oh, they clearly waited for Head in the Office so they didn't cover it this Wednesday. That's
a good note. Yeah, early last week on Sunday during the Super Bowl, Israel launched airstrikes into Rafah, killing around 100 people. This is significant because Rafah is the southernmost point of Gaza, and a lot of Gazans, around 1.3 million or so, are in Rafah seeking shelter because they were ordered to move to the south from the north.
And they were explicitly told to shelter there.
In
they
Rafah,
were explicitly told that Rafah would be a safe place for them to be.
Yeah, and a lot of the attacks had been concentrated north of Rafah, but then Super Bowl Sunday, when a lot of Americans aren't paying attention,
and they're distracted when everyone is distracted by the Super Bowl.
Israel launched airstrikes into Rafah. Strangely, Netanyahu has justified these attacks by calling Rafah Hamas's last bastion. That's a quote.
Oh.
And despite knowing full well that he told Gazans to flee to the south.
That's also funny because that's a switch up from what we're recording. Like, obviously this happened last Sunday. We're 9 days after the fact. That's a switch up from what first happened. Originally, Netanyahu came out and said that this was a bombing Rafah, probably the most dense area in Gaza right now,
Oh, yeah.
was a diversion so that they could rescue two hostages in the north. You didn't hear about that?
No.
That was the original explanation.
Come on.
That was something they used to explain it. We killed 100 people in the safest place that people, we told people to go to be safe at. We killed 100 of them and probably would have killed more if we were trying, if we wanted to a little bit harder so that we could rescue like 2 hostages.
Sorry, Doug. I just needed a diversion, so I blew up a densely populated area.
Yeah, and it's like,
what
fucking diversion? Were you worried that Hamas in the north were going to carry all their fucking AA guns all the way to Rafah, or we're gonna have their fucking anti-air guns set up to javelin rockets to get you out of the sky or whatever while you went and rescued the hostages? What are you diverting? Are all the Hamas members in northern Gaza gonna hop in their cars with no fucking gas and drive to Rafah? Or everyone in Rafah, because they're all Hamas, gonna drive to North Gaza because they heard that 2 hostages were being rescued? Wow. Be fucking for real.
I guess that makes it even worse that later on he called it Hamas's last bastion.
Told them to go there.
Yeah. I don't know what you want.
This is also after the last major hospital or the major hospital network in southern Gaza was just deemed unoperational now.
Oh, nice. So they just have nothing they can
do. Yeah, absolutely nothing. I think they left like 150 patients. They raided the hospital, Israel did, the IDF.
Yeah.
They left like 150 patients and arrested the Hamas health ministry, or the Gaza health ministry, said that they arrested like 75 like nurses or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just took them away. You're going to tell me they were all Hamas? Really?
Yeah, they were all Hamas.
Oh, fuck.
They didn't condemn Hamas, so you might as well be Hamas.
Fuck, you got me. What are they doing treating these civilians? They could be Hamas.
Exactly.
We're giving aid to Hamas.
Importantly, the city of Rafah shares a border with Egypt, but the border, the Rafah border crossing, has been closed because the IDF has bombed it.
Yeah.
So Palestinians literally have nowhere to go, right? They're in a cage just so they can die. That is the explicit purpose for Israel. Netanyahu is also planning a ground invasion into Rafah that might have already started by this point. Because it went so well the first time, of course.
Yeah.
It went really well the first time they started a ground invasion. The IDF didn't kill any Israeli hostages or anything like that.
Yeah, they definitely didn't kill 3 Israelis or something.
Yeah. Now, I know the question on your mind.
Yeah.
What's Joe Biden doing about this? Surely he's got a strong stance standing against bombing a densely populated area, because that's what he's known for.
Strong stance. He's Joe Biden sitting there. The 29,000 souls are weighing on him.
Yeah. He's known for being strong, stiff. Strong statements, that's sort of
unwavering in his convictions.
I have a quote from CNN. It says, quote, in a call with Netanyahu on Sunday, U.S. President Joe Biden reaffirmed his stance that the IDF should not proceed with the military operation in Rafah without a credible and executable plan to ensure the safety of civilians, according to the White House release. But Netanyahu has brushed off the criticism, saying that telling Israel to not enter the southern Gazan city was like telling the country to lose the war.
Brother.
So that's Biden's strong stance. Like, hey, don't do it without a plan, Jack.
Come on, Jack. You don't have a plan. You don't have a plan to. I know Israel has come out and said that they're trying to create an evacuation order to tell everyone in Rafah to fucking leave. But where do they go?
Yeah, no. How? What
Gaza
do you mean? Run into the ocean?
Gaza has literally been bombed from the top down, from the north to the south.
Yeah,
the rubble.
Yeah.
Like Rafah's in like bits of southern Gaza and Rafah, like the last standing structures. You can't even call Rafah a standing structure.
Well, because it just got bombed.
Not even because it just got bombed, because most of the people there are living in tents.
Yeah.
Like, it's a refugee camp at this point. There is nothing left in Gaza.
Yeah.
Where are they going to evacuate to?
Yeah. Well, and that's always been the problem, is like, how do you expect them to leave? You don't let them go into Israel, which is an option, by the way.
And
they could go into Israel.
And they're always going to have the excuse that, oh, Hamas just left with them.
Yeah.
Oh, wherever they go, that's the last bastion of Hamas.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I guess all that bombing did literally no good.
Yeah. Oh, so I guess
murdered 29,000 people.
Oh, I guess these wars on terror are fundamentally irrational. I wonder if there's a recent history lesson that we could look at to realize that our actions aren't really doing what they intend to do.
Yeah, no, it's looking really bad, and Biden not doing very much to stop it. And I think there was recently liberals were pretty excited because Joe Biden said something like the Israeli attacks are getting out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, well, look, he's pushing back against Netanyahu.
Biden did finally say the word ceasefire.
Oh, did he?
This week, okay. He finally said there should be a ceasefire.
Oh.
Which, like, the news went up in arms about because the bar is out below hell at this point.
Well,
like,
it's anti-Semitic.
The bar is just fucking below hell.
He could probably make a ceasefire happen if he didn't just, like, sign a blank check.
Oh, he could. Military aid, could absolutely do it. I mean, Mike Johnson's still standing strong, though.
Mike Johnson will make it happen.
Mike Johnson is making it happen. Just a side note, the bill has not passed. He's not letting the bill through, and they just went in recess.
Oh, nice. Love that. Since this happened last Sunday, Netanyahu has reaffirmed his vow to invade Rafah. When asked about hostages, he said hostage release, quote, can be achieved through strong military action and through tough negotiations.
That just sounds like we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah, and an important note here is that the largest number of hostages that Israel was able to save was during the temporary ceasefire a few months ago.
Who'd have thought?
Since then, they've killed their own hostages.
Yeah, which is the temporary ceasefire that Hamas was willing to extend by releasing more hostages, right? But Israel said no?
Yeah. Because Israel wanted to stop
it. They were hostage trades. Mm-hmm. And then for every X amount of, like, Israeli hostages that were traded for Palestinian hostages, that is the correct fucking term, considering that Israel is literally jailing children without trial.
Yeah, well, I don't know what else you would call them.
Like, they're not just prisoners. They're not just criminals. They are fucking hostages.
Jailing kids for throwing rocks, yeah.
They are prisoners of war. Yeah. Like, let's be frank. It was a prisoner exchange, a hostage exchange, and Israel said, yeah, we don't want to give you guys anymore, so we're actually going to continue this now.
Yeah.
There have been the families of the hostage members, or the people who were taken as hostages, have been begging Netanyahu to just fucking listen and get the hostages back and not continue with this. Yeah. But he won't listen.
Because the IDF has been crazy unsuccessful at freeing the hostages.
They've killed them.
Well, they've killed some. I think they've gotten, like, maybe one or two actual hostages out as a result of their military operations. It hasn't been good.
Probably
not
the
been
two, they had to fucking bomb 100 civilians to get two.
I'm not even sure that was, like, legitimate.
Absolutely
you know what I mean?
Not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Of course, all of this happens at the same time that now 29,000 Palestinians have been killed by Israel. Lack of supplies and food continues. People being forced to drink from toilets, from what I read on CNN, I believe.
Yeah.
Access to medicine is basically non-existent. It's bad.
I think the UN or the WHO, one of those oversight bodies or just like international bodies, has estimated that a quarter of the population is currently at risk for starvation.
Oh.
Right now.
Jesus
currently
Christ.
At risk for 250,000 people.
Yeah.
Or 500,000 people because it's 2 million people in Gaza.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Absolutely insane. You can't tell me that this isn't genocidal intent.
Yeah, of course.
I also read on CNN that only about 129 aid trucks have been able to make it into Gaza, into Rafah, compared to 500 aid trucks that were coming through every day pre-war.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that when conditions get worse, aid gets less?
Yeah, and it's like, I wonder if the ICJ is going to do anything about this, because they did order Israel, like, hey, you can't intentionally kill civilians.
No, literally, and like that month deadline, that's coming up.
Gotta be soon.
That one month, like, for them to, I think it was end of January.
Okay.
That 1 month timeline for them to prepare, like, detailed plans of how they're not gonna kill civilians. You can't tell me there's a detailed plan, like, oh yeah, we were launching precision airstrikes in a place that's more densely populated than, like, New York.
Especially when they're dropping dumb bombs.
Uh-huh.
With no targeting mechanism.
Like, what are we gonna do? But what is the ICJ gonna do? They have no enforcement mechanisms. But that kind of brings us to the next point of this.
Okay.
Over on the UN Security Council side of things, this morning, Tuesday, February 20th, an Algerian resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza was just vetoed by none other than us, baby.
Of course.
The United States. Absolutely no surprises
there. Worst country in the world.
You should not be shocked to hear that, but that's not where it ends. What is surprising is that rather than pull a, this resolution doesn't condemn Hamas enough, like we have been pretty much throughout the whole entire course of this war, anytime someone wants to just condemn Israel, not even launch, like, actual hard orders onto them.
Uh-huh.
This time the excuse for the veto was because the White House believes that should the resolution have passed, negotiations for aid and hostage exchange that we've been engaging in with Qatar, Israel, and Egypt would fall apart. With White House National Security spokesperson John Kirby telling CNN, quote, "We just weren't able to support a resolution today that was going to put sensitive negotiations in peril, and that's what we believe this resolution would do." Although I'm not entirely confident that these negotiations aren't in peril in general.
Yeah.
Qatar has come out and said that they've gone nowhere, that the needle is not moving at all. It doesn't seem like the needle's moving at all. Conditions are only getting worse for people in Palestine. I don't know what the fuck we're trying to negotiate, but I mean, I feel like maybe with Israel part of these negotiations, we have a party that may be negotiating in bad faith.
Yeah, well, and it's like he said we weren't able to support it. It's like you didn't just not support it.
Uh-huh.
You prevented it from passing.
You vetoed it. Yeah. You said everyone else supports this, not us, though.
Yeah, and then you made sure it couldn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's a little more.
If we're trying to ensure the loss of life is minimized, it seems like the ceasefire route is the way to go.
Uh-huh. And it's also crazy because I there's no doubt in my mind that Israel is the one that's holding up these negotiations.
Of course.
There's no doubt in my mind that Israel is refusing to bring anything to the table, especially because we had an Israel spokesperson come out and say that Hamas's demands are just flat out unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Hamas is mostly demanding prisoner exchanges for the hostages that they have, which is precedent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not unrealistic. It's literal precedent.
Yeah, well, they've done it before, right?
Israel once, I think they gave like 1,000 Palestinian prisoners in exchange for one hostage.
One IDF soldier, yeah.
One IDF soldier like 10 years ago or some shit. There is actual precedent for this to happen, especially when Israel's doing a genocide.
Yeah.
The cards are in Israel's hands. All they have to do is give up, what, a couple thousand Palestinian prisoners, most of whom are imprisoned without trial for absolutely no reason, probably aren't Hamas, but will be radicalized to join Hamas because of this experience.
And I gotta imagine Netanyahu's probably being intransigent because he wants the bombing to continue.
Absolutely.
He doesn't want the onslaught to stop, because if he were to offer, like, you know, even if it was a deal that sucked for Palestinians, if he were to offer something like one for one, I don't know, he wouldn't get to continue killing Palestinians for free.
Well, they have came out and said straight up they will not support Palestinian statehood. Netanyahu's cabinet has said they will not support a two-state solution. They will not support any independent Palestine. And they've also come out and said, with regards to just these negotiations in general, that they want Hamas to show proof that medication that has been sent to them to give to the hostages has actually been given to them, so that they can know that Hamas was willing to keep up their end of bargains. How the fuck you prove that?
Yeah.
How the fuck do you prove? You take pictures? Like, oh, look at this. He's taking the drugs. How the fuck do you prove that?
Yeah, I don't
know. These are unrealistic demands.
Right.
I don't know what we're... What are we talking about,
man? It's how you tank negotiations, right? And you demand real ridiculous things.
Exactly. And no matter how Hamas proves somehow that they gave the medications to these hostages, Israel will just say, oh, they just dumped them.
Yeah.
They clearly didn't give it to them. We can't believe you guys. We need to invade Rafah harder.
Yeah, now we're going to, you know, kill a bunch of kids.
Yeah. like a third of the population or some shit. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, it's been a third of the deaths have been women and children, I think.
Two-thirds.
Or maybe just children.
Two-thirds of the deaths have been women and children.
Oh, great.
And Israel has claimed that, I don't know the exact numbers anymore, but the one-third of deaths, whatever that thousand is, Israel has claimed that that's how many Hamas fighters they've killed, which is funny because that just tells me they're doing the Fallujah.
Yeah.
They're doing the any male, military-age male is an enemy combatant.
Well, it's like, that's not true, but then you're also admitting that, like, 66% of the time you're hitting an innocent person. your standards?
Even if all the women are involved in Hamas, too, you mean to tell me that, like, I don't know, like, a third of the children are also Hamas
You've
fighters?
Killed, like, what, 10,000 kids?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Well, they did find Mein Kampf in a children's room in Gaza.
That's true. They did find Hitler as somebody's lock screen.
On the iPad? Hitler iPad.
Absolutely, absolutely fucking bonkers. But that's not where this ends.
Okay.
That's not where the Security Council stuff ends. The United States does have a draft for a resolution that we're going to bring to the council that shows kind of a major shift in our policy. So the draft resolution contains a call for a temporary ceasefire and also warns Israel against launching their offensive into Gaza.
Well, that's a little late for that.
That's what I feel. I feel like we're willing to call for a ceasefire now. Joe Biden is fucking saying the word now.
Jesus Christ.
And we're creating a draft resolution that, you know, if we're creating it, nobody's going to veto it. It will pass the Security Council and Israel will be bound by it.
Right.
And we're willing to call for that ceasefire. I think it feels like a little too little, kind of too late, considering all the harm that's been done. But I mean, I'll take it rather than not taking it.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, 70,000 people have already been injured at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Almost 30,000 people have been killed. Most of them, vast majority of them, just innocent Palestinians. It's good, obviously. Like, I don't want it to continue, clearly, the death and the onslaught. But it's like, what, you know, we waited 4 months, almost 5 months at this point to
and
do something
like,
about it.
It's also like not like anybody that's powerful within the party was willing to I don't know, stick to morals of people just being killed in a senseless war, and they had to wait until the electorate fucking gave massive backlash for 3 months before they even decide to maybe change policy. Because while we do have a draft resolution, they don't want to put it forth until negotiations completely fall apart.
Okay. Well,
and it's like we're kind of leaving the ball in Israel's court. And if Israel's the one that's actively doing the bad things, should we be doing that when we can put this forth fucking tomorrow, get a binding ceasefire resolution through, and then actually be able to levy like punishment?
Yeah, I really wonder who like who the good and bad actors are in the Biden administration.
Yeah,
like which ones in there are like really pro Israel and which ones are like, guys, this is fucking psychotic.
Like,
guys,
what the fuck are we doing right
like
now?
Is Tony Blinken out here being a Zionist, or is he like, Biden, dog, we gotta stop?
Is Tony Blinken like on the front lines of these negotiations being like, no, we will listen to Israel 100%, or is he freaking the fuck out every day? Every time he flies to Cairo, is he like, oh my fucking
he's taking
God.
Like 40 Adderall every day?
Yes. Yeah. Has he been up for 3 weeks on stimulants? Just negotiating.
I gotta know, because I feel like Biden is probably pretty Zionist.
Yeah.
He's been Zionist for like his entire time as a politician. Uh-huh. I just wonder if those around him are as kind of gung ho about it as he's been.
Man.
Yeah.
Man, what a world we live in. But I mean, I'm at least happy to see that we're willing to kind of shift our policy.
Yeah.
I also saw an article that said Biden called Netanyahu a what's it called? A not nice word.
Something like asshole private. Or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't want it. Not a. I don't want to say like derogatory, because I feel like that implies slur.
Right.
But like he called Netanyahu
like
a dickhead.
Term. Yeah,
a demeaning term in private. Oh,
it's like you got him on video. Post the video, like even if it's on video, it's like, yeah, he's a real mean son of a bitch or something like that. It's like that's not gonna do anything.
Or just like do it. You're the president of the United States.
Yeah,
like Israel is not a self-sufficient nation.
Like, never has been.
That a very important part of this equation is that Israel literally relies on us.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot support themselves as an independent country.
Yeah, why is the United States, the most powerful country in the history of the planet, being pushed around by this tiny little nation in the Middle East?
All that power and for what?
Yeah.
The Imperial Core. And for what?
the Imperial Core. We've cultivated the world economy for ourselves.
The world runs on our dollar.
Yeah.
And we can't tell Israel no?
Yeah, and he's scared to say something in the press about Netanyahu?
Oh, my God,
what
man.
Are we doing, man?
Oh,
so
my
silly.
Goodness. See, if Biden had Trump's personality, not Trump's, like, ideas, but his personality, best president.
Oh, my God, I know. He's a loudmouth left.
I'm saying, man. Yeah. I'm saying. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Shifting to Russia?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got to talk about some major Russian news before we get off the air today. Vladimir Putin's only major political rival, Alexei Navalny, recently died in a penal colony north of the Arctic Circle last week. That's pretty high up in Russia.
Uh-huh.
Very cold place.
Yeah.
Not a place that I'd want to be.
Awful prison.
Yeah. Yeah, if you know anything about Russian prisons. Navalny was sentenced to 19 years in prison on extremist charges and for disobeying the police, basically just being a dissident. In 2023, he was in jail since 2021 after his return, but then he got charged with these, he formally got charged with these these charges, were convicted of the charges after he returned to Russia. Navalny, of course, wasn't perfect. He's documented a lot, saying some pretty awful stuff.
Yeah.
He's a pretty Russian nationalist kind of guy.
Notably, not great options over there. So.
Yeah, slim pickings, of course, in Russia. But he was, like, he represented a political force against Putin. He was the anti-Putin sentiment. That's what he captured in Russia. And it seems like Putin killed him.
Yeah, 100%. There's no fucking doubt in my mind that Putin killed him. Didn't he literally poison him like a
previously,
couple years
with
back?
A nerve agent? Yeah, a Soviet era nerve agent, which got diagnosed in Germany.
A Soviet era nerve agent that I think Putin would have had access to, being a former KGB member,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. No, Putin's a competent guy.
Probably just had it in his personal stash.
Yeah. Yeah. The story goes that Navalny went for a walk. He's been in this penal colony for several years now. He went for a walk, right, because it's like a fenced-in area of land, right? Mm. Like, multiple buildings. So he went for a walk. He came back, fell unconscious, and then died.
Oh, so he went for a walk and didn't come back.
Yeah. Okay. The cause of death has been labeled sudden death syndrome. Which seems entirely legitimate to me. Yeah, it's got Putin killed him, right? Like he was hit with a heart attack gun or something.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Sudden death syndrome?
Yeah.
Damn, bruh. Damn. Sudden death got him.
Yeah.
There's nothing suspicious about this at all.
Yeah. Part of me wants to say, like, after the attention from the Tucker interview, Putin just wanted to do something high profile. But either way, I think, like, the entire world would have heard of this. Navalny was a major political figure. Putin doesn't care, though.
When he got poisoned way back when, I wasn't even into politics, and I knew about that.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, whoa, that's crazy. That's like some Call of Duty shit or whatever.
Yeah. Bro got hit with the nerve agent and then the sudden death.
God damn. Bro's had a complex medical history.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that Navalny was ever going to get out of prison anyway.
No.
He might have just stayed and died there regardless of if he got hit with a heart attack gun.
I don't know that anyone who brings a serious challenge to Putin is really going to have a different fate.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Still on the Russia news, though, have you seen the Tucker Carlson propaganda?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
The fucking faux Aldi propaganda?
Yeah, I wanted to take a quick look at the video. I have a 30-second clip.
Nice.
This is from Tucker Carlson. He's been in Russia. You know that he interviewed Vladimir Putin. We talked about that last week.
He got a history lesson. But
he also decided to go on a little, I don't know how you'd say, adventure around Russia, mm-hmm. around Moscow.
Mm-hmm. A little tour.
Take a little tour of the places like the layman would go, mm-hmm. the regular mm-hmm. person would go. So he went to a Russian grocery store, and I have a little clip from his episode on that. So let's boot this up. Let's take a listen and see what Tucker was amazed by.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. So I guess you put in 10 rubles here, and you get it back when you put the cart back. So it's free, but there's an incentive to return it and not just bring it to your homeless encampment. Okay, this is the grocery cart escalator. This is designed, I'm figuring this out now, where the wheels don't move, they lock on the grocery cart escalator. Look, Ma, no hands.
Fucking hate this guy.
Holy shit. Never been in an Aldi.
No.
Never been in a fucking Aldi. Common technology. Dare I say they probably got it from us.
Or like, yeah, any American grocery store. There's several chains that do that with the quarter.
Oh my God. And it's also like, what is this? American billionaire heir goes to Russian working class supermarket to appeal to American working class people?
Yeah,
yeah, that's for sure gonna.
Yeah. The funny thing is, like, he later on in this little propaganda piece he was doing, he went to a Moscow train station.
Yeah.
And he was walking around and he was like, oh, look at the beautiful images. Cause like, I mean, the paintings are genuinely nice. He was like, oh, look how nice it is here. There's no rats. There's no homeless people like in New York City. And it's like, dog, you're praising the accomplishments of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
This wasn't built by Vladimir Putin. This was built by the fucking commies that opposed America. What are you doing? This is the most anti-American thing you've done.
And it's also, he was like, further in that grocery segment, he was also like, oh my God, the food, it's like so good here. It's not like that shit we have in America. Brother, go to Fresh Time.
Yeah.
Like, brother, you could find a grocery store that doesn't like sell bullshit.
Yeah.
You can, like, I'm sorry, but like every American knows this.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's kind of a case of him giving the game away in that he thinks that every American shops at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks that every American goes to Walmart for literally everything because he's never shopped for groceries in his goddamn life.
Yeah. Well, and the most egregious part was at the grocery store when he's checking out, he's like, we expected it to be around like $400 and we're just buying
$400.
He said, I expected it to be around $400 USD. Cause that's like, we're buying an amount that like you would usually get.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, it's only like $100 once you convert it from Russian rubles.
Brother.
And it's like, it's like, first of all, economics, people in Russia do not make as much money as people in America.
Yeah.
But also it's like, you are just showing us that you do not in any way represent the working man or the working family.
Oh my God, brother. What, $100? Wow. I was expecting that we would spend $400 on groceries a week.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, and he's man, like, that's insane.
Like, what do you love about America, dog? You hate the grocery stores. You hate the McDonald's. You hate the train stations.
Well, that's all because the left got to him. Oh, that's because he thinks that every American only can go to Walmart. Not that there's anything wrong with getting groceries from Walmart. I do it all the fucking time.
Of course, yeah.
99-cent bags of vegetables from Walmart, that's all I fucking ate in college. Mm-hmm. And it's good, and I still choose to do that. No shame for that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to say, like, from Tucker's perspective, this is what he thinks of that. And it's... That's crazy that he was blown away by a $100 grocery bill. He's like, wow, that's so cheap. Really, dog?
Yeah. It's like when, I don't know, fucking Addison Rae or whatever goes to like work as a cashier.
Charlie D'Amelio at Walmart.
Working at Walmart. And it's like, wow, look, God. I'm one of the poors.
You look like you shop at Walmart. I wouldn't even know what Walmart looks like. I've never been there before.
Right. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. And finally, in geopolitical news, there's been a lot of... liberals specifically freaking out.
Oh.
Trump's been talking about NATO a lot. He said something like he's not going to keep paying into NATO when he becomes president. He said that he's going to let Putin have his way in Europe if Europeans don't start paying more into NATO or something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of like the same thing that Ron Johnson said this week on the topic of Ukraine aid. He said, I'm not voting for this because Russia's just going to win anyway.
Oh, nice. game is game, you know what
game
I'm saying?
Game is game is
game. If you don't know, NATO is funded by each member country paying in some percent of their GDP.
Yeah.
U.S. having the highest GDP ever in the history of the world. We're going to be paying the most. This makes sense.
Yeah.
We're the wealthiest country. Trump doesn't like this, and a lot of liberals have been kind of freaking out about it because they like institutions, especially the international institutions. Yes. I get it. Bad idea to withdraw from NATO, sure, especially when Russia is still invading Ukraine. There's still a war happening, but like, is this the messaging we need to spend energy on?
That's what I'm saying.
Do we need to just sit and respond to everything Trump says about the international crises?
And it's also like okay, we withdraw from NATO. What would be the devastating effects of that?
I'm sure there would be like geopolitical ripples.
I'm sure there would definitely be like a fallout. I don't think it'll happen, but like this is not
well, I don't
topical.
Think, I don't, yeah, exactly. I don't think it's something that's going to happen. And also, it's like, I don't think it's something the average voter cares about at all.
Oh, well, the average Iowa voter cares a lot about immigration.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we need to be talking about.
Like, I don't think we care about NATO. Like, I don't need to focus time on it. Trump's going to say a lot of crazy stuff. Let's be sharp, lock in, peep game, and lock in.
Yeah. Lock in. Just kind of like Matt Gaetz.
Yeah.
Have you heard about that news?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. Matt Gaetz, I think some messages just, like, leaked. I don't know the full details of the story, but I do know what happened.
Uh-oh.
Somehow, some messages leaked or personal communications came out of Matt Gaetz just fucking bragging about these crazy sex parties.
Oh, no.
Stuff that is not going to help his case, his fucking underage sex trafficking case.
Oh my
goodness. It's nothing that I think directly implicates him as fucking minors, which we... Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
He definitely did that.
Yeah, went to dinner with a 17-year-old and tried to implicate Tucker Carlson. He's like, Tucker, you were there. You remember, right? And Tucker's like, whoa, buddy. Whoa.
Yeah.
But anyway, the notable part of this is a line that he had where he talked about crushing up like Viagra and chasing it with energy drinks so he could go all night.
Holy
and you know,
shit,
I just what that made me think about is all the people who say that sex workers have like an easy time. All these OnlyFans girls have like such an easy time doing whatever. Imagine if you're a sex worker and you get paid by Matt Gaetz.
Oh yeah, that's rough.
That's rough. That's not a tour I'd want to take.
All I'm gonna say is Madison Cawthorn was right.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Yeah.
We did Madison Cawthorn wrong. We've got textual evidence here.
Textual evidence to corroborate Madison Cawthorn's story.
Yeah.
And we have a story of the GOP taking their might to get out a disabled man.
He's also just admitting to like cheating on his wife, by the way.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Which is where are the family values here?
Yeah, exactly.
Where are the fucking family values here?
Matt Gaetz, you care about family values, but you're over here doing crazy, duplicitous things.
Which, that's all fun and cool as long as everyone there is above the age of consent and willing and able to consent and all that jazz.
You're just inconsistent.
You're just not potentially consistent about criminal. It. You got a wife. If you're single, single and you're having these crazy sex parties like that fucking one episode of The Boys,
yeah, do what
go
you
for
do,
it,
dog. Do what you
go
want to
do. Go for it, brother.
Yeah, but don't say I'm not pro-family values.
Yeah, but you can't do that and then call, I don't know, a gay person degenerate because they want to hold hands in Florida.
Yeah.
These are not the same things. You can't be literally from Florida, the great bastion of anti-LGBTQ legislation, and pro-family values, the state where the parental rights constitution or whatever the fuck was born out of.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then be doing this shit, man. Come on.
It's fucking rough. Come it's on. Fucking rough.
And also sex trafficking minors.
Well, shifting to people that aren't rough, that
completely
cool.
Smooth around the edges.
Smooth around the edges, easy to talk to, easy to be around.
Oh my God. So cool to chill with.
Maybe
kick back, have a couple of brewskis.
It's these people right here.
These people, these patrons. People that have already gave their tithe to help us reach our goal of $1 trillion.
Exactly. We're almost there.
In 2024. We're almost there, bro. We're almost over there. You can help push us over the edge. Maybe it could be two. Maybe it could be $2 trillion. But either way.
Get some people to come in and we could pay you on the back end.
Oh, yeah, guys. Hear me out. Maybe there could be like a referral program to help us out here. Like you guys. These right here, these fine people I'm going to name off. They're the early investors. They're the top tier, the super listeners, the Sunday supremacists. For every person that you recruit, you can get a cut of those earnings that go to us ultimately.
Exactly.
And then you can use that cut to help you buy more things, to help you recruit more people. And you know, the more people that you recruit and get paying you that are also paying us, the more money you're making.
Yeah, that sounds like a good deal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like to call it a funnel. I like to call it a funnel scheme. A little funnel scheme.
It's the funnel model for making money.
Because you think about it, like the money is funneling through you.
A multi-level podcasting scheme.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a scheme though.
Multi-level podcasting strategy.
Strategy, money-making strategy.
Let us know if you want to do this.
This was all about dead presidents. Oh my God. So special thanks to the Sunday Supremacists at the top of the tier, at the bottom of the funnel.
Mm-hmm.
At the bottom of the funnel. Caden Kraut, Lord Tyler Radiant, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, 40% Spite, Dylan B., Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T., Omar Zuno, Clayton LaFed, Mark Yeager, Kaz, Caleb Joy, Rich Torotari, Gavin Mayer Maldonado, Hunter W., Fergalaki, Max Vasquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mooberry, Fixer Punk, Jim Egbers, Jeff Muzz, Bagel Burrito, Cincy Alex, Joe Stenstrom, Adrian Sandoval, Chloe Sam 601, Colleen Cuts, Very Yook, Jennifer DeVoe, Big Bird Teddy, Crawfish, and Benneth Bennington III, Alexia Benanti, Neach, Big Booty Beatdown, Sam Maloney, Two Headed Boy, Ben Shapiro's Boyfriend, Jonathan Cassis, Luke O'Shea, Tucker Tarlson, Danielle Jackson, The Word of Microsoft, Jennifer Signs, Aaron and His Gundam Gundams, Darth Father, Tailored for Content, Corey Chambers, Sewer Snack, Elian, John Glover, Devin Hatchard, Retromondo, Emma the Dude Slayer, Breezy B, Veronica, a.k.a. V.
Oh, I didn't know you were passing it off.
I was, you know.
Raxun, Ash Smith, The Grotler, Flower Clown, Beetlebugs, Three Crows in a Trench Coat, or should I say?
Murder in a Trench Coat.
Lonnie Rogers, Slavic and Safik, Casey Lynn Kelly, Snake Eyes, and Hope of Giants, AK Gon, Aquanadon, Zach Lantian, Info Russell, Austin Greif, Marcus Corbett, Caleb Roper, Taylor Rensock, Ishi Teddy, Cammy, Tylan Freeman, Steak Daddy, Tay Tay, Isaac Hodges, Madeline C, Pab the Pab 69, Kayla Lowe, Anna Valinik, Eduardo Diaz, Casey C, Say Yes to West, August, Particular Pikmin, Sir Capilot, Jeff Signs, Howard the Duck, Brennan His Egg, JR, Drew Batchilder, Froggy Gumdrop, Zen Doing Their Best, Jackie Boy, Shameless, Coherent Babbles, Sasha, MJ Sharp, Michaela Muncy, The Wallace 3000, Southwest Socialism, Jared Finch, Evil Vegan, Tactical Snowflake, Son of Ander, Vanilla Bryce, Willy Swags, Chris E., Kishan Lala, Amanda R., Hanky Panky, Tyler J., Damian Blues, Real Nurse RN, Ashley White, Dick Cheney in 3-inch heels, Lalo Valesco, Particulon, Memfrez, and My Mom. Thank you all so much for supporting the show on Patreon.
Goodness. I'd like to thank all you associates personally.
Yes.
And for helping us get this far, we will be having a Hiddo-wide pizza party.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's right. And you can join that pizza party if you become a patron.
Exactly.
Patreon.com/HeadInTheOfficePod. Thank you all so much for listening.
Have a great week.